Why do we watch the Bears week after week? Why do we do this to ourselves? Because it puts us in a bad mood, at least me. Hey, it's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our phone number, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to chime in on the show. Also, our text line, it comes up on a screen right in front of me, so I see all your text messages at 312-981-7200. Curtis behind the glass. We get so upset. We shouldn't even watch the Bear game before we get on the air because now we're all crabby. It's just rough stuff. It is. I can't hear you talking.
I blame the NFL for scheduling it in front of us. Scheduling these games at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Putting us in a bad mood.
But we were a little crabby, what was it, 2 weeks ago when they, or last week when they played at night? I mean, it just doesn't work. We're not a good team. That's the problem. The Bears are losing 7-0. What, 4:25 left in the second quarter. By the way, the Giants 2-8. They look like a first place team against us. Kaz is here. He said he'd stop by around halftime. I stopped in the conference room, saw OB and Hamp. By the way, OB looks like he's going out clubbing.
Yeah.
He's got a nice blue untucked shirt.
He's a little hip today.
Maybe we're going out later. Who knows? But those guys, they're so wound up.
I know.
It's so entertaining watching the game with them. I spend about 15 or 20 minutes in that conference room, big screen TV, and they're just screaming at the top of their lungs. Screaming. You notice how I bring my voice down? Screaming at the top of their lungs. Wow. So we'll keep you updated on that, okay? Are we all preparing for Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving week. I woke up this morning. As soon as I opened my eyes, my wife's like, all right, we got to plan out the week for Thanksgiving. We got to go to Costco. That's going to be your job. Of course it's going to be my job.
You're going to get that pie again.
It's going to be crazy. We're working together on Wednesday afternoon doing Ro's show, okay? So I'd like to make a homemade pumpkin pie.
Ooh.
The Costco pumpkin pie, and then I go to the store and buy a pumpkin pie. Costco pie wins every year. Every single year it wins. So we're going to have a taste contest on Wednesday, which means I need to go to Costco on Tuesday.
There you go.
I'm telling you, man, that Costco run, it's rough stuff. But I said this once. I said it 1,000 times. I don't know what's going on with my voice. I said it 1,000 times on the air. When you go to Costco, especially around the holidays, and Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be crazy, do not go down the middle aisle. As soon as you walk in, you take a left near the eyeglasses, or you go all the way through to the bitter end and just work the side aisles. Do not walk in the front aisles. It's a bad idea. You go in the back, you grab your paper products, you get a case of water, you grab a pumpkin pie, and you get out. You do it. I don't know what it's like where you guys live, but in the city on Clybourne, they have the self-checkout aisles, which a lot of people are scared to go to. I don't understand. So they wait in line, so I always go to the self-checkout.
I think the biggest stereotype is that if you have only a couple of items, you go to the self-checkout.
Yep.
And that way you don't have to...
But they don't have the gun. So if you have a huge item, you have to lift it up and move it over.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
So if you bought, let's say, a TV, and you want to get it through the self-checkout, you have to call somebody to help you. Because you can't scan it over. You just can't pick it up. Oh man, so I gotta hit Costco. What else do we have to do? We have to bake a few things. We're not even hosting Thanksgiving. Can't we just pick it up and buy it? You know, and the list at Costco is, you know, you gotta get your wine, you gotta get your pumpkin pie, you gotta get everything.
That's a good idea for Shark Tank, Pete. You create a company that prepackages like Christmas and
great idea.
And Thanksgiving meals, and you sell it for a price. People buy it. You get all the ingredients measured out. You can have it proportioned for how many people you're hosting.
Somebody's got that. It's got to be out there somewhere.
It's got to be out there. Yeah.
It has to be. It has to be. And the Thanksgiving Day Parade is a Chicago tradition. And we're going to talk to someone from the parade in just a second. If you're a widow, if you've recently lost a spouse, there is a new online magazine called Widowlution. We're going to have the person that runs this magazine, Mary Lee, is going to join us at 2:35. What a great idea. So this is a lifestyle magazine. It's not a magazine where you go to and everybody commiserates. No, it builds you up, pumps you up. This is what you should be doing. You know, connects you with other people. I thought, what a great idea. And who knew that attorneys could sing and dance? The Chicago Bar Association has a musical. It has a variety show that's coming up in a week and a half. We'll have two attorneys in. Kate Kelly is an old friend. She's going to come in studio at 205 and talk about that if you're looking for something fun to do around the holidays. All right, quick break, and we'll talk about the Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up next on 720 WGN. Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving Day. We all have Thanksgiving Day traditions. One in Chicago is the Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Joining us to talk about it is Christina Bachman. I can't believe it. Here we are. It's Thanksgiving, Christina.
I know. It's right around the corner.
Wow. First of all, tell us the specifics. What time does the parade start? How long does it last? And where do we go?
The parade kicks off at 8 a.m. and it'll conclude at 11 a.m. This is the 86th annual Thanksgiving parade, so you can expect to see a lot of floats, marching bands. We have Chris Sullivan, who's from the TV show This Is Us, and also Miguel Cervantes from Hamilton, who will be the grand marshals of the parade.
That is great. Chris Sullivan. How do I know Chris Sullivan? Who does he play on This Is Us?
Great question. he's one of the brothers. Toby? Yeah, it's a really good show. Have you seen it?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah,
I know all the characters. That's why I asked.
Well, yeah, he's Toby. And he'll be here in Chicago. He actually has some Chicago ties, some background in theater in Chicago. So he's looking forward to coming home. Yeah.
That's right. He is. He plays Toby. He's the big guy, the bald head, loves hats. Yes.
Yes. Oh. That is him. And all this can be seen on State Street. And it starts on State Street and goes to Randolph. And if you are not able to get downtown to see the parade, you can tune into WGN TV and you can watch it on there. And also at 1 p.m., they will rebroadcast it on CLTV.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Dan Ponce, I think, is hosting that on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So you said it starts on State Street and goes to Randolph. I'm trying to picture that in my head.
So it actually starts at State Street and Ida B. Wells Drive, and it travels north on State Street to Randolph.
Okay, State and Wells. And when did they change Wells Street to Ida B. Wells?
Great question. I'm not sure.
Did I miss that memo? Seriously, because that's all I see. That's all I see now, especially on my phone. When you type something in downtown, you're trying to look for a restaurant. It's Ida B. Wells. So I'm like, oh, is that Wells Street? Yes, it is Wells Street. So State and Wells, where it kicks off. Well, tell me what's going to be involved in the Thanksgiving Day Parade here in Chicago.
Well, there are tons of equestrian groups. We also have marching bands, and a lot of them are from different schools in the area, so real great local feel. But we also have the Harlem Globetrotters. We have the Chicago Chinese Performing Arts Ensemble. We have a lot of festive floats, like you mentioned, WGN even has one.
Right.
We have over 18 cultural groups, celebrity guests, thousands of dedicated volunteers all coming out to help make this parade a success.
I mean, it's pretty impressive to see these marching bands in person. I know you've seen them a few times on TV, but the way that they interact with each other and just to get the synchronicity down and their moves together, it's pretty amazing. And they're playing an instrument at the same time. I can barely walk and chew gum.
Oh, and we cannot forget to mention that the big jolly elf himself will be there, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. I'm assuming that Santa Claus is at the end of the parade, the Chicago Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Let's not spoil it, though, right?
Now, can you give us some hidden secrets? Now, you probably want to be near the grandstand where they stop and sing and dance and do their little thing, right?
Yes. And actually, if you really want to do it right, you'll want to go to www.chicagothanksgivingparade.com, and you will see they have special VIP seating.
Oh, really?
So you can actually be in the grandstands and get all the royal treatment of VIP and see everything right in front of you.
So when you're watching on television, there's a point where the bands stop and they perform, and they have a grandstand seating. That's where you want to be, I would think.
Exactly. That's the TV staging area.
Right, right. 224 area code, State and Wells run in the same direction. Yes, they do. We got to figure that out. What is the cross street? Yes, that is funny. Christina, anything else you can tell us about the parade that we don't know?
You know, we just encourage everyone to come out and celebrate Thanksgiving as a family and really make this part of your tradition.
Yep.
Chicago's been doing this for the 86th year, so it's been going on for a while. And if you haven't been able to come down in person, we encourage you to do so. And like I said, if you can't, you can watch it on TV while you're getting your turkey ready in the morning.
What was it like 86 years ago? I'm sure they had a very quick parade, maybe a half hour.
Sure, that's way before my time, right?
Right, right. Yeah, you should put that on the website. Give the website again if people want to check it out.
Sure, you can see all of this and find out how to get that special VIP seating at ChicagoThanksgivingParade.com.
Christina Bachman, thanks for coming on, Christina. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
All right, see ya. That is Christina Bachman, ChicagoThanksgivingDayParade.com for all the information. I mean, people have certain traditions on Thanksgiving Day. Either you're playing football, running the turkey trot in the morning. I think there's a turkey trot in the city. There's a few turkey trots. What is your tradition in the morning?
For the morning of Thanksgiving, it's usually, the last few years it's been here, working with Dave Plyer on the morning of Thanksgiving. But before I started working here, it was more so just getting everything prepped together. We usually eat early at my house.
What time?
Like 2, 3 o'clock.
Well, that's normal for everybody.
Yeah.
Early is 11.
A lot of people, oh, really? You guys eat at 11? Okay.
No, I don't eat at 11. We eat at around 2. You sit down at 2, and next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock, and you got to get up.
We usually eat about 2 o'clock. Even on Christmas, we eat about 2 o'clock as well.
The Bears play at 11.
Yeah.
In Detroit.
Correct.
So you can watch the Bear game from 11 until 2:30, and then you can sit down and eat.
Yeah.
But I married a girl from Wisconsin, so everything revolves around breakfast.
Oh.
So we wake up, she's got to, you got to do pancakes, you got to do eggs, you got to do 15 different types of toast. I mean, she loves breakfast food. I'm not really a breakfast guy.
I love breakfast food, too.
What's your favorite? What's your go-to?
Chocolate chip pancakes. Side of bacon or sausage links.
Oh, the smell of bacon when you wake up in a house. Newski's bacon. Love Newski's. The thick cut bacon. Traditions on Thanksgiving morning. God, I just love that more than anything. So the Thanksgiving Day Parade kicks off at 8 a.m. So if you're thinking about coming downtown, of course there's not going to be any traffic. But remember, you got to park. That's the thing. Ida B. Wells Parkway is Congress. Okay. Ida B. Wells is Congress. When did they rename that?
Oh, God, maybe a year ago or maybe 8 months ago, something like that.
Did I miss the memo? I didn't see anything about that. And now it comes up all the time on my phone. Ida B. Wells is Congress. So
February of this year, it was renamed.
Huh. Okay. Good to know. So, okay, I need to look at a map. I can't picture this in my head. I'm driving down State Street in my head right now trying to figure out where it's going to be on State Street if you're going to head downtown. Or just go to the website and figure it out if you're bringing the family. All right, quick break. We'll talk Bears coming up with Kevin Paul. Did we find Kaz? Is Kaz out of the bathroom? Is Kaz out of the bathroom?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Is he in a good mood or a bad mood? Because it's halftime.
We'll find out.
Okay. Well, coming up next, we'll talk a little Bears and a little bit later. Remember, we're going to talk to the attorneys from the Chicago Bar Association. They're putting on a nice little play, musical, that happens right after 2 o'clock. So if you're looking for something fun to do this holiday season, you're going to want to stop and see them. It's 720 WGN. Bears joining us in studio, the Kaz.
What's up, brother?
It's good to see you.
You too. You look younger.
Hamp will be in Kaz after the game. Well, you start at 3 o'clock. And I walked in the conference room today. You were working on something.
Yeah, I was with Mark Carman.
Okay.
We were just holding hands.
That's
for
nice.
The first half. Preparing ourselves.
OB is wearing a shirt. He looks like he's going out to a club. He's got the long sleeve, untucked blue shirt.
He is the best dress man in radio. He is, you know, clearly. But I have a face for radio and a voice for the newspaper. Right? So there you go.
I'm deathly afraid of OB.
He's scary.
He is. He's very
and
scary.
And he's intense. Yep. You know what, though? It's from his heart. He mm-hmm. loves the team.
He
Nobody
does.
Loves the team more than Ed, and I'll be the first to say it. You know, there are times where I worry about him because he gets so worked up.
Like he's going to have a heart attack. I know.
I don't think that will ever happen, but okay. He gets angry. Angry.
Hamp gets angry, but when OB gets angry, I just walk out of the room.
Right. Yeah, I do. He's an old school guy, and nobody likes to upset or ruffle the feathers of an old schooler.
No.
I'll let you have it.
On the phone, we have Kevin Powell, too, because Kevin is a passionate fan, and of course he does sports on the afternoon show, and I wanted to talk to you guys about this pathetic Bear team. When you start the game with Eddie Pinheiro kicking the opening kickoff out of bounds, you know it's going to be a bad day. Kev, what'd you think of that?
Everything was awful. That was embarrassing. The Bears are pathetic. There are a lot of question marks with this team. Mitch Trubisky throws an interception. Did make a few plays with his legs, but Matt Nagy's play calling continues to be atrocious and pathetic. And this Bears team's awful. And, you know, it just feels like, because I don't know how you feel, man, but I don't give much blame to this defense because the Bears' offense managed to kill this Bears' defense. It's just they continue to put them in bad positions.
Yes.
It feels like every single series the Bears' defense has to get a stop and or make a big play. The bounces aren't going their way this season like they did last year. It's unbelievable watching it unfold in front of us. I just can't believe where they're at.
Yeah, I don't even know if you could say he's a bad play caller because you have a quarterback that – you don't throw that pick in the middle of the field.
No.
And if you're going to throw it to the back of the end zone up the middle,
right?
Either your receiver catches it and gets his feet in, and he's the only guy, and he has to go high to catch it because it's a pick otherwise.
Right.
Or you throw it to the outside. And the outside guy, you know, 83, whatever his name, he had the one-on-one coverage on the outside. So you want to jump ball in the end zone to the outside, not up the middle.
We're talking about the 11-play drive, and there was a pick in the end zone. Now, if you two know that, how come Mitch Trubisky doesn't?
Well, the pass should have been thrown sooner because it's really in those tight areas like that, you've got to hit a seam and then hope your guy can get into the end zone,
right.
Or you've got to get to the outside and create that one-on-one jump ball matchup. And our quarterback doesn't know it because he's not very good. I mean, really. I mean, that's the best way to explain it, right? He's just not good.
Yeah, he's not good. I'm really interested to hear what Nagy has to say after the game about that play, because after that play, Nagy was talking to Robinson and Trubisky, and it just always feels like there are multiple receivers in the same spot, which is not exactly what you want as a play design. So,
like, yeah, I think Robinson
like there were people
went
saying
too
like Robinson had too much depth on that route that brought the defender back to the end zone. Like Miller and Robinson were like a few yards apart in a very small window. I can't wait to hear what they have to say about that play. Well, I'm not excusing what Trubisky did. It's a bad play, but like, why would two receivers be in a small a small window, be 3 yards apart from each other?
Well, the point was your linebackers, and the quarterback should have read this. The linebackers dropped right before the snap of the ball. So there was not going to be a window in the end zone. That's just, you know, rule of thumb.
Right.
So I think Robinson pushed up and sat down right between those two backers. So he pushed up a little bit. Now, again, he could have looked a little sooner maybe, and you throw it to him there and he tries to split him, but you just don't throw it. That was, you know, it was the safety behind him that picked it. So it wasn't like you had, there were three defenders in that area. You've got to go to the outside. So yes, it could have been Robinson getting too deep, but you also saw Montgomery trying to get up the field and he got blocked going through the middle.
Well, you said the linebackers dropped. Is that because we never run the ball or was he in shotgun? I can't remember.
It was third and nine.
Okay.
And so
they knew.
The Bear, well, look, they were going to protect the end zone and they would come up and try and tackle you in front of the first down marker.
Right.
So most quarterbacks in the NFL will check it down immediately or hit the guy in the seam and hope he splits. That's all.
Yeah. And also I'd like to just mention the horrendous timeout usage by Matt Nagy at the end of half there. How in God's name are you calling a timeout, your last timeout, because you can't get a play in and get your team set, and then they got to call a timeout. Trubisky throws it out of bounds, and then you settle for a field goal. I mean, that's just horrible. And then 2 weeks ago, they're killing the clock by snapping it on the 1 yard line. I've never seen a team do that before, where you have to kill the clock on the 1 yard line because of poor timeout and play management by Matt Nagy and Trubisky not getting the line. All things considered, it's just I just continue week in and week out. I cannot believe what I'm watching. It is so bad.
And the Giants are 2-8. We have to remember
they're horrible. They've given up at least 27 points. So like. I think every single game except one or two.
I mean, except for us.
I mean, are you kidding me?
And we had to, and really, if you think about that last drive, they were in prevent, right? And prevent, for any defense that jumps in to that, it prevents you from winning the game.
Right.
I mean, you know, the defense from winning. You're basically giving up big, big gaps, chunks at a time, because you're just not going to give up the big play. So they're in a prevent defense, so that was the only time that our offense looked like we knew what we were doing, because there was plenty of space.
I have a question.
Yeah, I know a lot of yes, go ahead, Pete, sorry.
We have Kevin Powell on the phone. Kaz is in studio. Hamp will be in Kaz at 3 o'clock today. The officials, the Sean Hockley team, called the most holding penalties in the NFL so far this year. There was a called, I think it was
hands
illegal
to the
hands to the face.
It was. Cody Whitehair, they had the wrong number, right? So they focused on Leno, but it was Whitehair. Whitehair did it, and not only did he do it, but he continued to keep his hand to the guy's face. Because the ref threw that penalty, Kevin. I don't know if you got to see it. I got a clear look at it from the jump. Mm-hmm. He threw it late, so he was almost going to let it go, but he just continued to keep that hand in the guy's face mask and pushing.
Right.
So it's an easy call.
I felt like that play sort of summed up the entire season, guys. Like anytime something went right, Trubisky made a great throw to Allen Robinson with a huge gain, and then there's a penalty. It's just like anytime something goes right, they take a step back. It just kind of sums up the season.
Well,
I can't believe that.
Kevin, that should have been a touchdown.
Yes.
All he had to do was keep left and he would have scored. He went back into the opposite way of the block and got tackled.
I don't understand.
I'm like, well, there was our one chance to score and he ran into the defender. That itself was goofy.
And by the way, the Giants missed two field goals on poor snaps.
No, the second
one. Oh my
God!
That long snapper won't have a job by tomorrow. Really, I should have.
The second snap. Well, yeah, but the holder got it down.
Yeah,
let's be honest. I mean, he still got it down in time.
Right.
That kicker has missed in four consecutive games. So
sounds like our kicker.
Yeah. He's not. Our kicker's a little better, and you know, he celebrated his 26 yarder like he had just won the Super Bowl or something. I was feeling bad for this young guy, because here's a guy that, you know, when he first got here, he was confident he's kicking, and then last week Matt Nagy and his wisdom destroyed this kicker, who's goofy anyway. Kickers are the goofiest guys in the world. So why are you messing with the guy? Because he's goofy.
There's a reason that he was available this summer. He's not that good.
Right, but you get my point.
Yes,
Nagy,
I do.
Last week,
he
misses, and you don't run him out there the next time. You go for it, fourth and nine.
Wow.
That's really sending a positive message to your
kicker. None of these players have confidence. David Montgomery, okay, maybe a little bit, but and Mitch Trubisky keeps getting beaten down. But I want to ask you about Akeem Hicks. How bad do we miss him?
Well, it's obvious, right? He's the one that he's the straw that makes the cup, you know, the liquid stir.
Mac, one more random thought, guys. Sorry, Kaz, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Cleo Mack isn't the same without him.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Mack's 100%. That's no excuse for his poor play and not getting pressure, but he doesn't look 100% to me at all, Mac. And he'll never say anything, right?
I agree. Yeah.
He's not the same guy. He doesn't have the explosion that he had before. But yeah, Akeem Hicks is an important piece to this puzzle.
What's the story on him? When does he come back? Or
isn't he out for the year?
Kevin? No, he's eligible to come back in.
I mean, I know he's eligible, but he doesn't. I mean, it'll be interesting.
I think they're probably I mean, look, I think they're going to. I mean, if they lose this game,
if they
the season's
lose today,
over. Like,
he's, I don't think he's right, coming back. Right.
Right. Like, I think it's the same thing with Trevathan, where it's like, okay, you might as well just go week to week with him in case the very slim chance they continue to win. But no. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen.
There,
one other play that stuck out to me, guys, was that was the as I was thinking to myself, is Ben Browniker good?
He drops it.
A perfect throw that would have been a walk-in touchdown. The play before, he caught a ball in traffic, took a big hit.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, wait, is Browniker good? And then he drops the ball. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, so but that sums it up again. There's another play, yeah. Right? One play, he looks spectacular, and he got 10-toed. I mean, he got crushed.
He did.
So part of that, too, is sometimes when you get 10-toed like that, you're going to jump up, but you're seeing stars, and, you know, you have a voice singing to you in your head. So you're still trying.
There.
Yeah, you're still trying to get your footing, and then he fires the ball, and you're going to drop it. So, you know, I think part of that probably was the effect of getting crushed on the play before. God. Not to make excuses for the guy, but that sums it up.
We just look lost as a team.
Yeah, this is not a not a lot of passion either. And the defensive guys, they just look like
right.
And they're trying now to press. You know, Eddie Jackson is trying to strip the ball instead of tackling. They're not doing their job anymore. They're all trying to do too much.
Trying to make big plays.
And it's going to stink.
It's just incredible that we're here. When just a few months ago, everyone was thinking
Super Bowl,
10 wins, 11,
hey,
Super Bowl. I mean, like that was a legit. I mean, I bought into it. Everything I saw last year gave me enough real optimism in this team that they can make strides offensively. The defense was incredible, and like look, again, I'm still not putting a ton of like blame on the defense because of all things considered with the offense, but it's just. Unbelievable that we're here at this moment.
We're
the Bears
so angry.
Are playing the two-win Giants, and everybody's ticked off after the first half. The two-win Giants!
Yes. And we're losing 7-3. And, oh, by the way,
unbelievable.
Kevin, just be you. Just be you, man. Be you. That is what irritates me. And every time
man.
I see that on the back of his play
yes.
calling script, I want to rip that out of his hands.
I know.
So just be you.
I know.
Just be you, guys.
One last question. Is Matt Nagy a good coach?
No.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say no, because you're seeing he doesn't have confidence in his quarterback.
Right.
And he does weird things and doesn't know how to manage the play. I mean, managing the clock should be common sense.
Right.
And he's been horrible at it.
Kev?
Yeah. I mean, Pete, I think it's there's more to that question because, I mean, the next 5 to 6 games here, it's an evaluation process for the entire Bears organization. For
I'll make it for you, Kevin.
For...
No, he's not a good coach. You can't.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's. I don't think he's good either, Kyle. I'm just saying, it's like where what do the McCaskies think? Because do you bring back Matt Nagy next year?
Well,
I think they do.
They bring Pace back too, but
I think everything stays the same.
Point is,
so
you have to basically start from scratch again. Because your franchise quarterback that you gave up, you moved up to get him.
He's not good.
He's bad.
Yeah, he's a bad quarterback.
You know, and listen, the draft is a hit and miss anyway.
Right.
But this guy, Ryan Pace, swings and misses all the time.
Yeah.
You look at his draft choices, there's not many on the field right now. And not many that are impact players. In fact, none of them are impact players.
By the way, the Bears just scored.
Well, they third quarter, of course. Did they really?
Yes, they just scored.
What did they do?
It was a pass play. It looked like about 25, 30 yards.
Well, I'm glad I was in here with you then,
yeah.
Pete. I had my one moment, and you ruined it for me. Thanks.
Kaz, thank you. We'll see you at 3 o'clock.
You got it.
Kev, you're the best. I will be working with you on Wednesday. I'm doing Rose Show.
Oh, awesome. I'll see you then. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
See you, fellas.
That is Kevin Powell and Kaz. Remember, Hamp will be in Kaz coming up after 3 o'clock. All right, quick break. We talked to Debbie Gibson the other day. She's starring in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We'll play that back next on 720 WGN. We haven't seen our next guest in a few years. She came in studio to judge a singing contest, and she absolutely nailed it as judge. You can find her appearing on Nickelodeon's new show, America's Most Musical Family, as a judge. I like to think we helped her here at WGN get that gig. She will star on NBC's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. One of our favorites is the lovely and talented Debbie Gibson. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Yes, I think that you guys prepped me for my big Nickelodeon gig. I give you all credit.
How much did it help you being a judge on my show for a singing competition to get you this gig?
Hey, listen, all experience is good experience, right?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I like how you say that.
Yeah.
I love that we're going to be preparing our turkey dinners and you're going to be on TV.
You know, I mean, every year I've always watched the parade, and it's such an incredible honor when, like, basically, you know your career is going well when they call you to do the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Right.
I mean, it's a really, really cool thing. And I'm a native New Yorker, and it was always such an exciting thing to sit around the, kind of preparing for dinner and it coming on TV. So, and actually I have a sister that lives like right along the parade route. Her apartment's right near there and everything.
Oh, that's great.
So family will literally be peering down at me. Very exciting.
I was just in New York on Monday and Tuesday, and they are gearing up. Decorations are going up. Now, are you on the Nickelodeon floats? Are you going to be singing nonstop the entire parade?
I'm not singing nonstop, but I am on one of the Nickelodeon floats. They're Shimmer and Shine float. And, I am going to be, my music will be blaring from the float the entire time, but then I will stop to sing, kind of a bridged rendition of Electric Youth with a little more of a modern flavor to it. I'm very, very excited. And Electric Youth, in honor of all of the incredible youth performers that are on America's Most Musical Family.
Is that when you pull up to where the TV cameras are and the announcers are, and then the float stops and you break in the song?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one. That is the time.
Have you ever been to the parade? Because the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is on my bucket list.
Really? Well, you know what? No, I never. I performed in it once, like 21 years ago, 22 years ago, 22 years ago. And in fact, shared a trailer with the Backstreet Boys when they were making their debut.
Really?
Isn't that a fun fact? Yeah, I was like, oh, who are these guys? why are there boys in my trailer? Younger boys, what's happening?
What is going on here?
But yeah, so that was the only time. But no, you know, we always watched it on TV. We were kind of like a sane family who stayed in her house.
Right.
No, and I had never gone. I mean, the first time I went to the parade was when I performed, which was pretty thrilling. But
oh,
yeah,
wow.
you've got to get here.
I know.
It is incredible. I mean, different parts of my family, you know, sisters with their kids or whatever, have gone to see the floats being blown up. And it's really an amazing thing. This city's just the best at holiday time.
What is your favorite giant character balloon?
Oh, my God. My favorite giant character balloon. Oh, my God.
Because every year you see one balloon, you say, oh, my gosh, there it is. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There it is.
You know, I feel like anything Peanuts related.
Snoopy. Yes.
This year there's an astronaut Snoopy.
I heard that to mark the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know more than me about that one. Oh, yes.
That's pretty impressive.
Amazing. I now see that. But yeah, I love that. And then, of course, Santa. I mean,
you got to have Santa Claus.
For me, when you see Santa, you know, well, now you kind of know Christmas is coming after Halloween.
They keep
pushing it up. But as far as the parade goes, for me, when you see Santa, I mean, that's the magic of the parade.
Debbie, I went to Home Depot on North Avenue here in Chicago, and the day after Halloween, there was Christmas decorations in the entire store. 12 hours they must have worked to put the Christmas decorations in the store, so when they open up the day after Halloween, they were there.
Unbelievable. I know. It's become quite insane. Although, with that said, when Christmas is over, I am one of those people who wishes it wouldn't end, and I continue playing the Christmas music a little bit too long. Sure. You know, I've done Hallmark movies, and they start Christmas, and they do like a Christmas in July now or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they start really, really early because it is, you know, it's fun to kind of milk it.
We're talking about Debbie Gibson. Do you cook? Is Debbie Gibson a cook? Are you a good cook?
Not to the degree that I would invite you over for a home-cooked turkey dinner by yours truly.
Uh-huh.
I tend to eat kind of simple.
Okay.
So like, man, I can steam some good vegetables fry some good eggs.
You can work the microwave.
I can work that microwave. Actually, I do more than the microwave, but baking. I do love baking. Like, especially when Christmas time comes, my grandma had like a famous sugar cookie recipe that we try to carry on.
Love
it. Again, kind of simple stuff. I'm a little bit mad scientist-y in the kitchen.
Really?
So again, you know, yes, come over to my house for dinner at your own risk.
I go to Costco every year and I bring in the pumpkin pie from Costco. That's the size
sounds good to me.
Of
Listen,
a wheel.
at a certain, oh my God, I love that. That is at a certain point, like my sister Karen, who lives here in town in New York, you know, like she started doing the order-in catered Christmases.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, I can't believe this. It's sacrilegious. And I'm like, I'm with you, Karen. You know what? Just like,
make it easy. People can bring sides.
Easy. I mean, it's that other, I mean, and it is a lost art and a lost generation. It's that lost generation of the old Italians that would be slaving over the stove.
Right. Yes.
Especially the Christmas holidays for us, because we are Italian. There'd be like the tomato sauce cooking, simmering on the stove, like you'd wake up to the smell of garlic.
You can smell it. Absolutely. Yes. That's, I know it's late, but my mother is probably cooking as we speak.
That's so funny. It's probably true.
She's been preparing. I come from a large family. I have 11 brothers and sisters, so our immediate family is huge.
Wow. Oh, my God.
So my mother starts preparing at the beginning of November. This is her Super Bowl.
Wow.
It's a big, big deal. But
wow.
Thanksgiving Day, as people are getting ready for their Thanksgiving dinner, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, make sure you look for Debbie Gibson, who's going to be starring that day. Debbie, always great to talk to you. We got to get you back in the city.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'd love that. Miss you.
Miss you, too. We'll
have to do another talent competition.
I will.
We'll do an offshoot of America's Most Musical Family.
I will absolutely make that happen. It's good to hear your voice. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You, too.
Take care.
Thank you so much. You guys, I could feel before you started some nerves, and then it was like the music took you over and you got in your groove. And so, yes.
WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios, joining us in studio. By the way, can lawyers sing? Can they be entertaining on stage? The Chicago Bar Association presents the 96th annual bar show for Lying Out Loud. In studio with us is our old friend Kate Kelly. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Jeff Marks, how are you?
Very good.
Hold on a second here. Let me turn on your microphone.
Thank you.
There it is. Okay.
Thanks.
Kate, first of all, explain to people how we first met when you came on the show, what you do.
I'm a lawyer by day.
Yes.
But I have some friends who are federal judges who have invited me to sing the national anthem when they swear in new citizens at naturalization ceremonies.
So you sing to the sworn in new citizens and they are probably bawling in front of you.
It's wonderful. And frankly, I ask them to stand and join me. So it's not, I lead,
right.
But we all sing together.
How long have you been singing?
My whole life.
Really?
Absolutely.
Jeff, how about you?
I've been performing my whole life.
Really?
Yes.
So the 96th annual bar show for Lying Out Loud this year, that's the name of it. 96 years? Really?
That's right. When we started, it was a smaller group that would perform political parodies, and it was like a one-evening show, and it got bigger and bigger. People wanted to come. The regular audience people wanted to come, and it got bigger and bigger, and now we're still running 96 years later.
Wow. How many years have you been in?
40 years.
40?
Yeah.
Kate, how about you?
27. I'm a youngster.
27 years. So I heard a rumor that women weren't allowed in this show until when?
In the 60s.
Late 60s.
And what happened in the late 60s?
There was perhaps a lawsuit that was filed. The men would do drag lines and they would dress up as women, and the women wanted to get a part of the action.
Well, of course. So what happened? Who sued whom and how did that work?
I think a couple of the women who wanted to be in the show sued and were very successful. And the case ended up being...
The case was dismissed, but they got what they wanted.
Exactly.
Okay. So it worked out.
It was a settlement.
Of course. That's what you want, right?
That's right.
As
absolutely.
Attorneys?
Yes. This is long before we were involved.
Yes.
I probably know 24 attorneys that live in the city. Okay, and that work in the city, none can sing and dance. How do you weed it out? Is there an audition process? What happens?
Yeah, so it is open to any lawyer, and what we do is we do solicit people to come on in and audition. It is a very professional show, so people who come in have some background. We've had lawyers who originally were on Broadway, and then they went to law school.
You're kidding.
Then they come in and they want to perform, and we audition them, and they come in. We have people who have been in community theater who are great dancers. We have a couple cast members who were professional dancers. It's quite an impressive group. But we always want new talent coming in, and it's amazing the number of lawyers who are talented who want to perform.
Really, Is it a different crew every single year, Kate?
We have a lot of the same folks every year, but every year we get four or five new attorneys to bring the young folks in and
right.
to get things moving and grooving.
So somebody gets a new job, they move to Chicago, and you're like, wow, this person, let's see, they performed in college. And it's like, do you recruit them in? What do you say?
Absolutely. The Bar Association puts out a big blast and says, hey, come on an audition and join us. And I think people realize that it's more than just performing. It's now a family.
Right.
I've sung at their weddings. I have gone to baby showers. We host. We just have a great time coming together.
How many attorneys are part of the Chicago Bar Association, Jeff?
Oh, the total association, 20,000, 30,000?
So 20,000. This email goes out to 20, 30,000 people.
Right.
How many emails do you get back? Is it thousands?
I would say thousands, but we do have a website off of the Chicago Bar Association's website, barshow.org, and we see a lot of hits from the Chicago Bar members hitting that. So we know that they're aware of the show, and certainly the younger people can see, younger lawyers can see that the show is there and they should audition.
People that are listening right now think attorneys a little stiff.
No.
Kate, knowing you, you're very theatrical. You're very animated. Mm. Tell me about this show for Lying Out Loud. What is it about?
Well, we have a theme that goes throughout the whole show, and it's all about liars. It's political. It's the scandals. We have a number about Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and the education scandal.
Yes.
But we have quite a few political numbers that skewer both sides of the aisle.
Okay.
That's right.
Can you give me a few?
Well, sure. Should we do some local politics?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, for example, one of our famous aldermen is in trouble, and Alderman Burke, we have a little song for him from That's Entertainment. Let's see. How does it begin? I'm charged with a federal crime. If I lose, I may have to do time off to court where the hearing was short. That's the arraignment. They say it was all pay to play. Here's the thing. I don't like Burger King. Make them squirm till they hire my firm. That's the arrangement. Well, that's gets the idea.
Just listen to that crowd.
Where did that audience come from?
That is just unbelievable. Who writes this and how long does it usually take?
Well, I'll answer that. We have a writer's team. There's two main writers and then a number of other people who submit material. We're actually writing year-round. The reason is we actually go on the road, we perform throughout the year, and we update everything. We're very current. So if something happens today, we will have it in the show tonight.
Oh, wow. Really?
When Governor Blagojevich was indicted that night, the number had changed that he was in.
Wow. So you guys have to sit down right away. It's like SNL. I mean, here's a skit that we need to get on stage right away.
But we have to memorize it.
Yeah. Well, that was my next question.
We don't have the cue cards like
that. I mean, you did the song that was probably written, a month ago?
Yeah.
Okay. And how do you memorize it? It's just muscle memory? You just keep practicing over and over?
Well, that's what rehearsals are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I walk to the train and beat with the song, and I do it in my head. People might look at me funny, but that's not unusual.
Are you wearing headphones and listening to the music as you're singing?
Yes. Sometimes I'm not, but sometimes I'm doing it to the music.
So it's nonstop.
Yes.
It never ends. Do you know the actor Rob Morrow, who played Dr. Joel Fleischman on Northern Exposure?
Yeah, sure.
He's on the TV show Billions. I had him on last week, and I said, tell me about your memorization. How do you do it? And he said, to this day, he still struggles with it. But he just talks through the lines, like you do, and then he runs through the lines as fast as he can without emotion. And then the third time, or fourth time, or fifth time, he will go through with emotion.
Right. And the speed through, we all do that. That's,
is that normal?
Yeah.
Is that how you how you're taught as an actor?
It helps you remember. If you can speed through it, then you know you've got it memorized.
Okay. And the lucky part is we're singing and most of it rhymes.
Is it a musical where there's a little speaking and then you break in the song?
Exactly right.
Okay.
So we have, for example, a Mayor Lightfoot number.
Really?
And she comes out and she's leading the gay pride parade. And then she starts singing.
Well, hold on a second. That's a great little teaser. I got to hit a commercial here, and then we'll come back to do that. By the way, what's the website where they can get tickets?
Barshow.org.
Barshow.org. I'm having a tough time here. It's 720 WGN. All right, in studio with us from the Chicago Bar Association. There we go. Let me turn on your microphones. It's Kate Kelly and Jeff Marks, and they're talking about For Lying Out Loud, the Chicago Bar Association presents the 96th annual bar show. 96 years. That still blows me away. That's crazy. What was the first one like? Do you guys know? Do you know anything about it, Jeff?
Well, I saw a little program that they had. We have an archive. And it just had some, they were singing Christmas carols and then changed some of the lyrics to do something locally political.
Okay.
And that's how it started.
Got it. And Kate, when does this run? Where is it? Give me all the information for people listening right now.
It's December 5, 6, and 7, 7:30 performance at the Merle Reskin Theater, 60 East Balboa.
Okay. That's Balboa in Michigan, right?
Balboa and Wabash, between Michigan and Wabash.
Okay. Got it. All right. Before the break, you were talking about a number about our mayor.
Right. So the number starts with Mayor Lightfoot being the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade. And then she starts singing with the whole cast on stage dancing. Took the top job in the city. It's been held by men back since 83. But I never lost 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the way things used to be. Voters were discerning. Proud Lori kept on yearning. And then it goes on and the whole cast dances.
That is just great. Jeff, can you dance? I know Kate can.
Yes, I can.
And Kate went over there.
Kate actually does dance. You don't have to dance to be in the show, but I do dance.
You do dance, but you're not dancing in the show. Now, do you guys have different parts? How does it work? And how many attorneys are in the show?
This year's show has 49.
Yeah. When I started, we had 104.
Oh, gosh. And everybody has an opinion, I'm sure.
Oh,
yes. How long do the rehearsals last? I can't imagine.
Well, actually, our rehearsals are very organized. We have a professional director, a Jeff Award-winning director, Marla Lampert, and the rest of
is
the...
Is Marla an attorney? Or
no,
just somebody
not.
Brought in?
No, okay. She's brought in. And then we, our set designer is a Jeff Award-winning set designer, Andrew Weber Miller. So it's all professional around us. So what happens is our rehearsals are very professionally run, just like it would be like being at the Goodman or at Marriott Theater.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I like
that. And
we
have a full professional band, orchestra playing.
Are they all attorneys too?
Nope. They are all younger players in the city.
I like that. So you all have to practice together. How many practices do you have before the show starts?
So we start in September with choral rehearsals.
September? Wow.
For the big numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of harmony.
Sure.
Got to get those words down. So we do that every couple of weeks. And then starting a week ago, we were every day and every night, weekends, full days, and every evening through today. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of time off for Thanksgiving. The next Sunday, we're back at it till we open on Thursday.
Wow, that is so impressive. The Chicago Bar Association presents the 96th annual bar show for Lying Out Loud. In studio with us is Kate Kelly and Jeff Marks. As attorneys, how do you compartmentalize your job and be able to sing and dance at night? Because I'm sure it's very stressful. But, I mean, being an attorney, people just throw their problems on you. It's like being a psychiatrist. But, you know, it's you know, the legal aspect of it.
Well, the deadlines don't go away, so you got to make sure you make time for it. But there's something about this group of people and the chance to perform. I certainly sing professionally, but mostly in a church venue.
Right.
It's so nice to have my Broadway come out when I'm Elizabeth Warren. I'm out there singing to Bernie Sanders like you wouldn't believe.
You watch SNL, like last night they had the skit with the Democratic debates, and Bernie Sanders, played by Larry David, was so funny.
He was excellent. We have a guy who would rival that.
Well, I was going to ask about that. Yes. So how do you find these people? They have to be able to do impressions, right?
Yep. But when they come in, we often ask them to do some readings of some skits that we have and see if they can do it. And we actually have a Bernie Sanders who you would think is Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
Yep. Throw a wig on me. I can be Elizabeth Warren.
Give me your Elizabeth Warren.
Well, I'm singing to Bernie. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can court socialists better than you. And then he sings back to me, and we have this whole thing about who's better.
Oh, my God. This sounds fantastic. It does. It really does. And who do you impersonate, Jeff?
Oh, well, there's a number of characters. But in one of the national politics portion of the show, we have a number of Beatles songs that we've parodied. And one of them is about the whistleblower. That's a big thing right now in Washington.
Listen.
I got it. Listen, do you want to know a secret? I have got the best intel. Whoa, closer. Let me whistle in your ear. Say the word you want to hear. I'm not going to say it because I'd give it away the line. But
Listen to that crowd. I mean, that's just fantastic. It really is. Wow. I mean, I love the fact that when each of you are doing lines or singing, that you look at each other like, wow, this is, you're really good. I mean, you pump each other up, don't you?
I guess we do support each other, yes. Everybody in the cast supports everybody.
Curtis, did you see that look? It was like, wait, am I really pumping him up?
After 27 years together, hello.
That's a long time.
It is. And to dedicate time, especially during the holidays, you know, the show used to be a little later in December and it interfered with Christmas time.
Right.
I had a baby in October one year and I was in the show in early December.
Well, how, are you practicing at home and
absolutely
raising a baby?
Absolutely.
Wow.
And then when I was back at work, I was back in the show. It's just something that's that important to me
sure.
to balance it out. So this is the one time a year I take a little bit more time for me.
Jeff, you've been in 40 years. Yeah. Kate, you've been in 27 years. Who's been in the longest? Which attorney?
We actually have, right now, I think Fred Lane is probably. The famous trial lawyer Fred Lane is still doing the show. He's 92. He does a comedy routine.
92?
He is as sharp as can be.
It's his 63rd year in the show.
63rd? Wow.
He is as sharp as can be. It's unbelievable.
He can do a magic trick like you can't believe.
Is he singing on stage?
He does a comedy routine like... a
little vaudeville.
Yeah.
Wow. So everyone in this play is an attorney. And part of the Chicago Bar Association.
Yeah, every performer on stage is a lawyer.
And it's open to law students. We had our first law student a few years ago. Mm-hmm. She's still in the show as a practicing lawyer.
Wow, that's impressive.
But the audience is not all lawyers. I mean, it's true. You know, we have a lot of politicians who come. Governors usually come. The mayor usually comes. Local people. But the audience is probably more than half of just regular audience. People who listen to your show would be the perfect audience.
Well, tell me about that. If the mayor's in the audience, Kate, and you're seeing the mayor's part on stage.
It happens all the time. I think that Mayor Daly's come when Jeff has repeatedly played Mayor Daly.
That's true.
And I was working daily look.
Well,
You really do.
But a funny thing was, I was working for him at the time, and we were skewering him.
Oh, boy.
And I'll
but
tell
he's
you,
a good sport.
He was a good sport.
Yeah.
My mother, who's 87, who's come to every show for 27 years, repeats to everyone who wants to come to the show, you don't have to be a lawyer. You just have to be up on the news to come and enjoy the show.
You're right. Yeah, and you have to stay up on the news. If something happens last minute, say on you open on the 5th that morning, boom, you got to write it out.
Yep.
So everything you learned for the past 3 months changes at the last second.
Well, the Bush Gore year, it sure did every night.
Oh, wow.
Well, actually, also this last election when...
we didn't know who was going to win.
Yeah, so we had written we had written a show based upon assuming Hillary was going to win as opposed to Trump. And then when Trump won, we had to totally throw out about half the show and rewrite it.
Gosh. Tell me about your favorite years with the news cycle around the shows.
The election years are always really fun because it's topical and ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Those are probably the most exciting years, yeah.
Do you talk about sports?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we have a Bears number.
Oh, boy.
And they're playing right now. I assume they're winning.
Is it about breaking my heart like
no,
the Bears
it's actually
do
about
every
the,
week?
It's about the 100 years of the Bears, and the song begins, Kate?
100 years of football, Bear friends dressed in orange and blue. One. Team we cheer on each fall, except those times when we boo.
That's from Coors Light.
That is, of course it is. Everybody knows that song. I love that you guys can just jump right into the number. Wow. It's so impressive.
A week ago, probably not so well.
So, dress rehearsal is the 4th?
Yes.
Do you get nervous when you're on stage, finally? Dress rehearsal, ready to go?
I think that it's so ingrained in our brain, but...
Yeah.
Every time right before I go on stage, I try to put my finger to my ear and run through the whole number super fast to make sure I know it.
Okay. All right. Where do you get the costumes from?
We're mostly self-costumed. We have a fabulous costume team led by Barb Burns, who does unbelievable things. We have some really cool costumes. I don't want to give it away this year, but she labors for hours every day to get these costumes just so.
So the bear number, does someone dress up as a Chicago Bear?
We all do.
Really? I like that.
Do you
have the eye black underneath the eyes?
We're fans.
We're all fans. Thank you for coming in. Jeff, very nice to meet you. Kate, you know I love you.
I love you too, and I hope to come back.
Anytime you need anything. So the Chicago Bar Association annual bar show for Line Out Loud happens Thursday the 5th, Friday the 6th, and Saturday the 7th.
Barshow.org.
Barshow.org. I'm having a tough time saying that. Barshow.org. Thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
It's 720 WGN. Thanks again to Kate Kelly and Jeff Marks. The Chicago Bar Association presents the 96th annual bar show. It's called For Line Out
Loud. Can you try that one more time?
The Chicago Bar Association presents the 96th annual bar show. Right there, it's been 96 years, blows me away. It's called For Lying Out Loud, and Kate Kelly and Jeff Marks. For tickets, remember, you can go to barshow.org. Thursday, December 5th, Friday, December 6th, Saturday, December 7th. They were great. I love Kate. Jane and I had Kate in about a year and a half ago. She sings the national anthem to newly sworn in citizens.
That's awesome.
And she said, just the look on their faces. Wow. That's good stuff. The Bears are winning right now, 19-7. It's the start of the fourth quarter coming up at 3 o'clock. The post game with Hamp, OB, and Kaz is in the house. It's nice. There is a new online magazine. I think this is just a wonderful thing. Are you lonely because you've lost a loved one? You're worried about a loved one because of a loss? Well, this is reality. This is the reality we live in. But we have someone who can help. It's an online lifestyle magazine designed for widows called Widowlution. And joining us is Mary Lee Robinson. Mary, how are you?
I'm fine, Pete. I'm so happy to be with you today. I appreciate your inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I think this is such a great idea. First of all, how did you come up with this? Are you a widow?
I am. I was widowed about 6 years ago and started working on some resources simply because I found so few myself. It's better now. Things have caught on the internet. But there's more now available than just the Hearts and Flowers books.
Well, explain to people what exactly Widowlution is.
Widowlution is a contraction of Widow Revolution. I came up with the name because I thought we needed to change the way that we think of ourselves and that other people think of us. Most people, if you ask them if they picture a widow, they picture somebody very old.
Right.
And wrapped in black.
Yep.
And
Mary Lee, that's accurate. So funny you say that, because when you say widow, I think of my Aunt Catherine, who was a widow forever, but she always wore black, and she wore the pillbox hats.
And that, oh, yeah.
That is my visual. That's so funny that you say that, and it shouldn't be, should it?
Well, we don't do that anymore.
No.
There's a colleague who wrote a book about wearing stilettos, and we do. So it's a little different now.
Now explain, yeah, Widowlution is the online lifestyle magazine. What can people find there that are widowed?
I try and offer all kinds of resources, articles about learning how to eat out alone and enjoying it, and you actually can do that, pointing people towards some skills and vendors that they didn't know existed. I have an article about how to hire a contractor if you've never done that before. There's some ways to kind of reduce the risk if you know what you're doing.
Sure.
There's a new website out called Probate Stars that can point you in the right direction to learn what your rights are in the courts in all 50 states, state by state. So stuff like that.
I think that is great because, you know, when you lose a loved one like that, you feel so alone. And if you can read something online to at least give you a few steps, or someone's talking to you like you are talking to them because you've been through it, it'll help them.
That, and it's really important to discover that you're not the only one. The average age to be widowed in this country is 59.
Wow.
And we tend to think of ourselves as the only person that's happened to, and that's not true. There's 13 million widows in the states. So because we've kind of gone underground, mm-hmm. it's become kind of taboo to grieve. In Victorian times, it was very open, and I think maybe the pendulum has swung a little too far the other direction.
Right.
So, the cause of widowhood is not going to go away. I think we need to normalize it.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
One of the things I started off with was an initiative I called Set an Extra Plate. Because there are so many widows who are living alone, 41% in their 60s do, we kind of tend to get overlooked. The invitations stop, and there are an awful lot of people, men and women, who spend the holidays all by themselves. And that's not just widows. It can be divorcees and
spouses. Right, right.
But why not set an extra plate and include solos in your holiday plans? This was something my family did. It's not an original idea of mine. When I was growing up, we always did that. And it was so much fun. My mom worked at our local hospital, so she knew all the residents that were doing their tour and away from home.
Right.
So we had doctors, we had teachers, we had policemen, and we even had a regular guest who was a shepherd.
Okay. So you learned from your mother at an early age, didn't you?
And Dad deserves some credit, too. He was fully in support of that. But yes.
Right.
And in our community, it was not unusual to do that. So I was really surprised when I lost my husband that invitations weren't forthcoming. So I set out to change that.
Wow. You know, we have a friend who lost her husband, and she's 45 years old. And we make it a point in our friend group to make sure that we invite this woman to every event. Just so,
excellent.
Even if she says no, we want to extend the invitation just so she knows that we're, number one, thinking about her, and number two, that we love her and we're supporting her.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's rough stuff. Widow.
And sometimes if you invite a widow, particularly if they're fresh, they may say no, but just like you have learned, don't take it personally. It's
right.
Not about you.
Yep. And,
it's the invitation counts a lot. I'm going to tell you something a little controversial. To the widows and the widowers, there's a trend now to advise them that if they don't feel up to going, don't go. Horse hockey.
Really?
If somebody invites you,
you got
to make an effort to go.
Yes.
Even if you can't stay for the whole event.
Right.
Just post.
Yep.
Because those invitations are going to go away.
Right. If you keep saying no,
you're
going to
want them.
Right. That's such a great point. And you got to get out of the house. I mean, most of us, when we're depressed, we don't want to move. We want to stay in our house. Once you get out of the house, especially when you're around other people, positive energy, it puts you in a good mood. It does.
Absolutely. It makes an enormous difference.
We're talking with Mary Lee Robinson. Widowlution is the online lifestyle magazine designed for widows. What's the website that they can go to, Mary Lee?
Widowlution.com. Just like it sounds, widow, then Lucian, the back half of revolution.
And you are a grief coach. I just want to get that out there.
I am.
And how do you become a grief coach, and what's the difference between a grief coach and a counselor?
Well, grief counselors are the people who get you on your feet directly after loss. Grief coaches get those feet moving forward in more practical terms. For example, in working with clients, I talk about how to get good sleep, because you can't really accomplish much of anything if you're not doing that, how to rework your home so it works for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still grieving, sometimes it doesn't occur to you that you could rearrange the shelves and put some of the things you need on lower shelves so you can reach them.
Right.
Colors make a difference. I teach a little bit about home deck, and what I teach you won't find from with Chip and Joanna. It's a major departure.
Yes.
So those are the kinds of very practical, real-world aspects that can make your world a lot easier and more cheerful.
When you were first widowed, was it hard for you to move something in the house? You just wanted to keep everything as is. When did you first take that step? Okay, I got to get rid of some of this stuff. I got to move some things around.
Well, there was another factor that played into it. Moving things was difficult because most people in the early throes of loss experience a great deal of fatigue.
Yeah.
The energy levels just hit the basement.
Right.
So, yes. I'm fairly tall and fairly sturdy, so I don't have the problems that a lot of ladies do, but it can be difficult, and I miss not having two sets of hands to do things.
Sure.
I have to hire a lot more help than I did before, but I've found some workarounds, too. So you find ways to adapt.
And do you talk about in at your website, widowlution.com, the online lifestyle magazine designed for widows, do you talk about how to make new friends, how to hang out with people in your age group?
Yes, I do. And that's also in my courses as a grief coach. And it's going to take some work because the natural inclination for a lot of people is to move as far away from a widow as they can because they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. So it behooves us to make an effort. And
right.
There are one of the best ways in the world is to volunteer someplace. If you pick a cause you're passionate about, you're going to meet people who are also interested in that cause. And friendships very naturally form there. So I strongly advise that. Meetup groups are good. Unlike the name, they are not hookups,
right.
Not to be confused with hookups.
Right.
But
yes.
They have all different kinds of interest groups, and that's a good place to meet some folks that share some common interests.
Boy, that is such a great idea. Volunteer. I think the bottom line is you just got to be around people, right?
Exactly.
You can't be alone. You got to get out of the house.
Exactly.
Man. What are some of the things, there's people listening right now that just experienced a loss. What do you say to those people? And by the way, you brought up the fact that people don't know what to say, so they just avoid it altogether. It's just you being there and reaching out is what they remember. They never remember what you say. Am I right?
I think that's spot on. Yes. We certainly also remember the people who didn't show.
Oh, yes.
I had two very dear friends of 45 years that I didn't hear from for months. It was stunning to me.
It's crazy how people can't deal with death or just don't know what to say.
Right.
Nobody ever knows what to say. Maybe I was taught at such a young age because I felt like my mother would take us out to wakes and she's like, honey, just go through the line and say, I'm sorry. They're just going to remember your face. They're not going to remember what you're saying. I'm like, okay, Mom. Yeah, we got it.
That's it. I tell people to say I'm sorry and then shut up.
Right. Say I'm sorry. I'll say a prayer for you. That's it. And just,
there you go.
And if the conversation comes, if not, just, you know, that's it. I don't
right.
Really, I don't
but they'll
know.
Remember that you were there.
Exactly. But you need to reach out. I love that. And what are some of the other things that we can find in the Lifestyle magazine? It's interesting that you have a lifestyle magazine for widows because it's kind of an oxymoron.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yes. But life changes a lot for us, and there are tweaks and adjustments we need to make.
Right.
And I address a lot of those, how to cope with the holidays. In fact, I'm rolling out a new program that is sort of an add-on to Set an Extra Plate called Self-Gifting. I was inspired by a lady I volunteer with.
Okay.
Who is a solo. She was divorced late in life and found Christmas in particular pretty grim. So she started buying herself gifts online from Amazon using the gift option, having them sent already wrapped, and she'd write herself notes on the cards, something like, "You've been a really good girl this year, Pat," or "Santa says you deserve this." So I thought it was brilliant. And
I love that.
So I've extrapolated it. And those who haven't had a loss are going to roll their eyes. I know that. But
right.
Why not, if you're widowed or missing someone, send yourself a gift and sign the card with a comment in their voice?
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what my dad would say to me. So I've got a gift coming that it has that card.
That is such a wonderful idea. Maybe it's something that I grew up with, but I've seen it my entire life, how the widows, like you said, you got to volunteer, you got to keep moving, you have to reach out. My two grandmothers, I lost my grandfathers when they were in their 60s, so they lived until they were 93, 94.
Yeah.
So I had both my grandmothers for, you know, 30 years after my grandfathers passed away. And my father passed away 15 years ago, and now she is part of a volunteer group. When someone passes away, that they do exactly what you're saying right now. It's a support group.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Part
of why I got going on this is because I looked at my rogues gallery in my living room of all the family portraits and realized that out of 8 of my family members, 5 had been widowed, including my husband.
Yeah.
And including my grandfather, and both my grandmothers had been widowed twice. So my task was set before me by those voices. They said, get up and you got stuff to do.
What is the youngest widow that has reached out, or widower that has reached out to you?
Ooh, I have one who is 29 I heard from this week.
At least,
and it was a particularly brutal ending. Her husband was murdered.
Oh, boy. That's rough stuff. I mean, at least she is reaching out and trying to find help.
Yeah.
And do you coach one-on-one as a grief coach?
I do. Everything I do is online or by phone. That takes care of the distance problem. But with Skype now, that's easily accomplished. I do one-on-one consultations. I also have just completed putting together a do-it-yourself course, 8 weeks. And a lot of people don't really want to participate in a group and may not want to share their innermost feelings
sure.
with a stranger. But you can pace yourself through this one, and I've got some tools that help and some lesson plans, and you can take this at your own pace. And after 8 weeks, I can't cure your grief, but I guarantee you, you'll feel better.
I love that you're giving people steps. When I saw this online, it's like, oh my gosh, she's doing God's work here. I love it because, number one, you've been through it. Number two, you're giving people actual steps that have worked for you and worked for other people to help them get through exactly. their grief. Good for you.
Exactly.
Widowlution is the website, WIDOWLUTION, Mary Lee Robinson. And by the way, do you have any books out there that people can look up online?
I do. I've co-authored a number of books in the Grief Diary series. They're all found on my website.
Okay.
And I have a listener special, if I can offer that to you.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
If any of your listeners go to my website and purchase a book, they'll get free shipping and 15% off if you use the code RADIO,
okay.
which brings most of the books in at about $13, $14. And I'll send along with that a free copy of my very first book, ebook, The Widower, Widower Next Door, 25 Questions and How to Survive and Thrive.
When we post the podcast, we'll put that on the website, too. The keyword is radio.
You.
Radio.
Radio is the coupon word, and if listeners want to buy through Amazon, they just forward the receipt. I'll honor the freebies.
You're awesome. Widowlution.com is the website. Mary Lee Robinson, thanks so much for coming on today, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Pete. You as well.
All right. We'll talk soon. Take care.
All righty. Thanks.
Take a quick break. The post show, the Bears post game show. Bears are leading 19-14. That happens at 3 o'clock. It's 720 WGN. Thanks again to Mary Lee Robinson. The website is widowlution.com. Anytime we can help someone through grief or have a guest on the radio station, especially widows, I love it.
That's awesome.
That's what a great idea. So here is a woman that's widowed. And she's like, I want to help other people, so I'm going to put together this lifestyle magazine online. It's not going to be, well, you can talk about grief, but I'm going to tell you how you can find contractors. These are the steps that you're going to have to go through. Move some stuff around in your house. You don't even think about that.
I loved the sending the gift to yourself with like a little phrase.
What a great idea.
I loved that idea.
You and I both lit up when she said this. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that is such a great idea.
Well, you know what, because I know for a fact, my grandparents on both sides of my family, my dad's side and my mom's side, both of those grandparents, my grandpa on my dad's side and my grandma on my mom's side, would have loved to have something like that to kind
of course.
Keep the memories going and that
right.
sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And it does keep the memory alive.
Exactly.
Man, that's good stuff. Widowlution.com. Thanksgiving Day. Would you ever live stream your Thanksgiving for cash?
Maybe. I don't know.
How much cash?
I would say, how much cash are we talking here?
Well, how much? You tell me. Live stream. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sit at your table and eat.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of creepos watching people eat.
The website Cam Soda will give you $250.
Yep, that would kind of explain.
What? It's an adult entertainment website, and they'll pay you $250 to live stream your dinner. That's it. Cam Soda Voyeur Thanksgiving. No other rules. You don't have to be naked. You don't have to do anything weird. Just
eat.
Live stream your Thanksgiving. Would you want that?
I don't know.
I don't think...
$250?
$250 doesn't seem like enough.
No, yeah. I'd want more.
But it'll be multiple... It'll be multiple families, so you can go to a website and check it out. But I would think anything over $1,000, I would consider it.
I would, too.
$1,100.
$1,500.
I don't think this is a negotiation. But all you have to do is Google Cam Soda Voyeur Thanksgiving and sign up, and you could be live streaming your Thanksgiving for $250. I mean... We all have crazy families. I'm trying to think. First of all, my mother would never go through it. She would never, ever agree to it. Ever in a million years. But there's nothing crazy that happens at Thanksgiving. You know, we talked about this. We go around the table where everybody makes a toast and gives thanks. And, you know, it can be as short as I'm thankful for the food on the table. Or you can talk about the entire family. That would be the only thing.
Can you imagine somebody giving thanks if the Bears win? I'm thankful the Bears won today.
I'm thankful for the Bears. Yes, the Bears. Where does canned cranberries come from? We had this conversation on Thursday night, and I looked it up after the show.
I was saying, I thought we talked about canned cranberries because, like, the ridges and everything a few weeks ago.
Right. That's the thing.
The show. Yeah.
I know we do it at our house. We have the cranberries in a bowl, and then you have the canned cranberry with the ridges and everything just sitting on a plate jiggling.
Yep.
In 1910, Marcus Uran, a lawyer, quit his job to buy a cranberry farm and would go on to become one of the founders of Ocean Spray. He began canning cranberries as a way to sell the seasonal berry year-round because the cranberry harvest lasts 6 weeks. Before canning technology, the product had to be consumed immediately, and the rest of the year was almost no market. And suddenly, there was a market.
I was going to say, but do you have cranberries outside of Thanksgiving?
That's a great question. Ocean Spray, currently the world's largest grower of cranberries, sells roughly 80% of its canned cranberries for the year this week, starting today. 80% of the canned cranberries. Out. What do you think the other times of the year are when people get canned cranberries?
Maybe around Christmas.
Christmas is one.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you'll get two out of three.
Maybe New Year's or Halloween?
Nope. Nope.
Mm-mm. 4th of July?
Nope. Uh-uh.
I'm trying to think of other holidays.
Think religious holiday.
Easter?
Easter. Easter. Thank you, Pam. So Christmas and Easter are the peaks, and Super Bowl Sunday, people buy canned canberries.
Super Bowl Sunday?
And put the jiggly little dealio on the plate.
I've never been to a Super Bowl party or any Super Bowl-related event with cranberries.
Never! But according to Ocean Spray, outside of Thanksgiving week, where they sell 80%, Christmas, Easter, and the Super Bowl. So this year, when you go to a Super Bowl party, and we're watching some other team besides the Bears playing in the Super Bowl... let's see if they have cranberries.
All right. Report back.
In a can. No, that doesn't happen. You have barbecue, you have burgers, you
pizza,
have pizza.
Pizza.
Yes. Yeah. You're not eating cranberries on
all
Super
like finger
Bowl.
Food.
But you know what? I was just thinking, this is Naughty Pam talking.
Yes.
But I'm just thinking, what if you took the cranberry stuff out of the can and mixed it with some vodka and put it back into a mold and back into the refrigerator? I wonder if that would gel up.
Now you're talking.
That would be awesome.
I like your style, Pam.
Oh, okay.
I like your style.
Back all to right. Straight lace, Pam.
Back to straight lace, Pam. News is coming up. It's 720 WGN.